Habits play a fundamental role in your personal growth and helping you achieve your goals. They act as the building blocks of your daily routines, your behaviors, and they basically shape the overall trajectory of your life. Whether you're striving for professional success, better health, personal development, whatever it may be, habits are going to provide a powerful framework for your progress. They help you stay consistent and build momentum so you have a reliable structure that allows you to take consistent action towards your goal. So whenever you develop positive habits and engage in them regularly, you create that momentum that will keep propelling you forward. So each small step taken will consistently compound over time, and that will help lead you to significant progress and growth. They also help you be more efficient so you can do things on autopilot. By repeating specific behaviors or routines over and over again, you can perform them without even thinking about them. So they take less mental energy and less mental effort, and you're just making these decisions without even knowing it. So a lot of people struggle with decision fatigue. It's like, I could do this, or I could do this, or I could do this, and I don't know which one to do, so I'll do nothing. So a lot of people struggle with that. But whenever you have your habits in place, when they become ingrained in you, they require less mental energy and they free up your mental space so you can focus on other important tasks. By recognizing the importance of habits, you can intentionally design your habits to support your goals and aspirations. That's why I believe that creating these small micro habits are going to be the best and the most effective way to add more structure into your day. When it comes to starting new habits, one of the most common misconceptions is the belief that motivation and willpower alone are sufficient to sustain your long-term change that you want to see. So many people will fall into the trap of thinking that if they're motivated enough, or if I just have enough willpower, that somehow they will easily be able to adopt and maintain any habit that they desire. But this approach often leads to disappointment and failure because willpower and motivation alone are just not enough. Now, of course, motivation and willpower are valuable. Like, they definitely help people get started with things and stay consistent in the beginning stages of habit formation. But relying solely on motivation and willpower can be unsustainable in the long run. And here's the thing about motivation. It tends to fluctuate over time. So at the beginning, when you're excited and the habit is new, you have a lot of enthusiasm about it. It's something fresh. But then over time, the motivation gets lower and lower and lower until eventually it goes away. So there are external factors such as stress or unexpected events that can easily and quickly diminish your motivation. And that'll make it challenging for you to stay committed or actually stick to creating your new habit. And on the other hand, you have willpower, which is within you as well. And research has shown that willpower functions like a muscle, and that over time, it can get fatigued and tired. Just like if you're working out every single day, your muscles start to get tired and they start to feel really weak. And that's how willpower can work as well. So making numerous decisions and exerting self-control throughout the day depletes your willpower, and that will leave you vulnerable to giving in to temptations or just skipping your habit altogether. So today I'm going to be sharing with you the 7 common mistakes that people make when they're trying to stay consistent with their habits so that you can avoid these mistakes and see the success that you want to see. Welcome to the Smart Productive Mom Podcast. My name is Lucretia, and I want to help you be more productive and present without stressing about housework. I'm spilling all the tea on how to take that overwhelm out of motherhood, so let's dive into all the juicy goodness. Mistake number 1 is setting unrealistic expectations. Setting ambitious goals is often seen as a positive, like it becomes empowering because you have this big ambitious goal that you want to achieve and you're feeling really motivated in the beginning to achieve it. But there are some dangers to look out for when your goals are overly ambitious. And no one can tell you if your goals are overly ambitious. That is up to you to decide. But here's a few things that could happen when your goals start to feel too unrealistic. So you will quickly get demotivated and frustrated because your progress is super slow or you're not meeting your own expectations of where you think you should be at. So then you start feeling like, I'm never going to achieve this. What's the point? And you easily get burnt out. You get exhausted because you're constantly pushing yourself beyond your limits without allowing for any rest. You just think, the harder I work, the more I work, the faster I'll be able to achieve these results that I want to see. And that's just simply not always the case. Hard work does not always equal success. And another thing that can happen is that you start neglecting the small wins along the way. Like you stop enjoying the process of achieving the goal and you're just so focused on the big overall picture that you miss all of the small wins that you're actually accomplishing along the way that will help you maintain your motivation and build your momentum while you're going. But if you're neglecting these small victories, you miss out on those opportunities for positive reinforcement and you don't get to feel that sense of accomplishment. And setting these big ambitious goals I've definitely fallen into the trap of that, especially with this like online marketing business world where you see people are like, I built a six-figure business in less than 6 months. And you know, the way that I think, I'm like, okay, well, if they can do it, then I can too, which is true and could be true. But you know, I have to realize that I'm in a completely different season of life than they are. Like I don't just have the freedom to come in my office and work whenever I want to. Like I'm working around the schedule of my husband and working around the schedule of my kids who need my attention and there's nap times and they have to eat and we have all of these other things that we need to do. Like I don't want my business to feel like it's taking over my life. So yeah, I could work all the time and you know, neglect my family, but I don't want to build a business at the expense of my family time. So setting these big goals, they are good and it gives you something to work towards, but you want to make sure that you're being realistic with the amount of time and energy that you have. To avoid this mistake, you want to make sure that you're starting small and just gradually increasing the difficulty and building that momentum. So when you start with small, manageable actions, this allows you to build momentum and create that positive feedback loop. So you do this small action and you get this positive result. And then again, you do this small action, you get this positive result. And that's going to help you build your momentum and help you stay motivated to continue because you're getting these small boosts of dopamine throughout your process of trying to achieve your goal. So that'll help you stay consistent. And you want to also make sure that you're avoiding overwhelm because overwhelming yourselves with these overly ambitious goals or these complex tasks that have like 50 million steps to them, that can lead to burnout. So by starting small, you can avoid overwhelming yourself and reduce the risk of feeling discouraged or giving up before you even see success. Mistake number two is not being specific with the goal that you want to accomplish or the habit that you want to start practicing. A lot of times when I'll talk to the moms in this community, I'll ask them, what is it that you want to start achieving? They're like, oh, I just want more structure in my day. But what does that even look like? Like, what does having more structure in your day look like? What does fitting everything in look like? Like, these are the things that I hear. Like, I just want to fit everything in. What does that even look like to you? So you have to get specific on what it is that you're actually trying to achieve. Like, what does structure to your day look like? Does that mean you guys are getting up at a certain time? You and your kids are getting up at a certain time? Or does that mean being able to make it out of the door at a certain time? Or you just want to be able to do more fun activities with your kids? Like, what does adding structure to your day look like? And then from there, you can start making those small habits that are going to help you add the structure to your day that you are wanting. Mistake number three is neglecting how big of an impact your environment has on habit formation and staying consistent. Your environment is going to play a significant role in habit formation because it influences your behavior and it helps shape your daily routines. So for example, one of my habits was to start walking 10K steps a day. But I noticed that every time I would walk past my couch, it would have my comfy, fuzzy pink blanket on it that I love laying under and watching Netflix. And I noticed that having that blanket on the couch triggered me to lay down instead of getting up and moving around more. So as soon as I folded up that blanket and I put it in the closet, I wasn't as triggered to lay down and watch Netflix anymore. So here are a few ways your environment could be influencing your habit formation. So there are environmental cues. Your environment is full of cues that are going to trigger a specific behavior. So just like I said, the cue was my pink blanket being on the couch that was triggering me to lay down and relax instead of getting up and moving around and getting my 10K steps a day. So these cues can be visual, they can be auditory, so things that you hear, they can be sensory, so the things that you are sensing around you, so senses in nature, just things that you're sensing. So for example, if you see a gym bag by the door, then that could trigger you to actually go to the gym. Or if you hear an alarm in the morning, that could be your cue to get up and work out. So having these strategically placed environmental cues that align with your desired habits, those can help prompt you to take action more effortlessly. Another environmental trigger could be the social influences. So the people you surround yourself with, not just in real life, but virtually as well. Like, who are you watching online? So be very cautious of the people that you're surrounding yourself with and that you're interacting with regularly, because you are going to start adopting these behaviors. You're going to start mirroring the behaviors, whether you notice it or not. So sometimes you may notice that you start talking like someone else, or you start picking up little habits that someone else does and you don't even really notice you're doing these things. So make sure that you are surrounding yourself with individuals who share similar goals and habits as you, so that when you subconsciously pick up these behaviors from them, that they're actually good behaviors that you want to adopt. Whenever you recognize the impact your environment has on habit formation, you can start intentionally shaping your surroundings to support the desired habit that you want to accomplish. So modifying your cues and triggers, having that social support, so who are you surrounding yourself with? Those things are going to help you design your environment so that it aligns with the goals that you want to accomplish. Common mistake number 4 is overlooking accountability and support. So many of us go into something like trying to create a new habit and we just try to do it alone. And eventually we get burnt out because we don't have that accountability and support that we need to stay consistent. Because even though we know that something is good for us, that doesn't mean it's just going to be easy to implement into our lives. So even there's been a study that shows that having an accountability person or someone that you are held accountable to can increase your chances of success by up to 96%. So having an accountability partner or some type of accountability within your process is going to be huge for your success. Here are several ways to help you find accountability partners or just establish a support system. The first way is going to be identifying shared goals with someone else. So look for individuals who share similar goals or habits that you want to develop. So this could be within your existing social circle already. So do you have any friends that are trying to accomplish the same habit as you? Like whenever my friend, she's a travel nurse, she was coming home for a bit and we decided to start going to the gym together. I think it was my first daughter. So I had just had her and I was ready to start getting back in shape too. She wanted to get back in shape. So we started going to the gym together once or twice a week. So we found a similar goal that we wanted to accomplish and we just buddied up together to start going to the gym and we did that consistently together. It helped us stay consistent because whenever I didn't feel like going, she was like, remember you said you wanted to get back in shape, hot girl summer, come on girl, let's go. So we helped each other stay accountable for those days, even when I didn't want to go or the day she didn't want to go, like we'd give each other that little pep talk and that little boost of motivation. So we were able to stay consistent. Another way to establish a support system is to join groups or classes. So participating in some type of group, class, workshop, whatever it is, can help you stay consistent with achieving your goals. So this could be like joining a yoga class every morning, so you're able to get up and go to that before your kids wake up, or participating in a workshop that's going to help your business propel forward in whatever you're trying to accomplish. So being surrounded by the other like-minded individuals who are on a similar journey to you is going to help you foster that sense of accountability and support. And then strategy number three to establish a support system is to hire a coach or mentor. So some of the most famous people have coaches or mentors. So if you're a singer, you have a vocal coach. If you're a basketball player, you have your coach that teaches you how to play basketball. So most of the people who are successful in life have some type of coach or mentor who specializes in the area that they want to develop. So the coach is going to help provide you with guidance, support, accountability, and it's all going to be tailored to your specific needs. And that's the good thing about this. So they've already gone through and know the process of what you're trying to do, and they're just going to help you stay accountable to yourself, and they're going to help you accomplish what you're trying to do. So definitely consider hiring a coach or mentor. I have a business coach that I pay for, and she helps me stay consistent with my business because it can get overwhelming working by yourself, being a solopreneur, especially when you have little kids at home and you just have limited time. Like if you're working a full-time job, whatever restraints you have, like we don't just have the freedom to work on our business 24/7. Like we can't just come in our office and work whenever we feel like it, or just pull out our phone and work whenever we feel like it. So being able to know exactly what to do in those little pockets of time can make a huge difference. Common mistake number five is focusing solely on the outcome and neglecting the process. What I've had to learn is how to value the journey of achieving the goal instead of completely focusing on what life will be like when I accomplish the goal. You are going to learn so much about yourself while you are trying to accomplish these things. So you are only going to grow as much as you allow yourself to grow. And whenever you're focusing on the journey, it makes it easier to celebrate all of the wins along the way. And you can notice these little shifts that you're making in the way that you think and the way that you act. You're like, oh, you know, I remember whenever I used to lay on the couch and just watch Netflix all day. And now I'm actually up and walking around and I'm cooking more and I feel better. I'm sleeping better. I'm taking my kids out to the park instead of just sitting on the couch. Like you start noticing these small wins that you're having along the way instead of just, I need to get this, I need to accomplish this, I need to do it now. You're actually enjoying the process of the journey. And one thing that keeps us stuck too, when we're looking at the outcome, it can feel so big and overwhelming and unattainable that it really just prompts us to give up because it's like, wow, that's still so far away. But whenever you're making these little baby steps throughout the journey and you're actually enjoying it and really just loving yourself, like really just embracing your flaws and embracing how much you're learning and how far you're coming as a person and how much you're growing, that will help you stay consistent, and that will help you give those little boosts of dopamine and that little boost of motivation that'll help you stay consistent. Common mistake number six is using the all or nothing approach. And that means if I can't do all of this task right now, then I'm not even going to start. I'm going to do nothing. So if I can't clean all of the kitchen right now, then I'm not even going to do anything. I'm not even going to start. If I can't sit down and record an entire podcast episode in one sitting, then I'm not even going to start. So that's the all or nothing approach. And that holds a lot of people back, especially if you are a busy individual, you have a side hustle, you have kids, whatever it may be. We have to work in these little pockets of time. Like sometimes it'll take me like 2 or 3 days to record a podcast episode and edit it and get it out and scheduled. So if I just waited until I could sit down and record a full 20, 30 minute podcast episode, edit it, get it scheduled, write the description, do all of that stuff, like I wouldn't stay consistent. I wouldn't be able to get these podcast episodes out to you because it's just, I don't have that much free time available. It's important to give yourself permission to start the task and being okay with not finishing it. So many people think that they have a problem if they start a task and don't finish it, but that does not have to be a problem. The only person that is making that a problem could just be you thinking that you have to do things a certain way, which you actually don't. If you start a task and you don't finish, that can be okay. So yesterday I started recording this podcast episode during nap time and my daughter woke up and I had to stop, and that was okay. I didn't beat myself up over it. I wasn't upset with her for waking up from her nap time early when usually she sleeps, you know, like 90 minutes to 2 hours, and she woke up early that day. Like, I wasn't upset about that. I was just like, okay, I'll finish later. Just give yourself permission, give yourself grace to actually start a task and be okay with not finishing it at that moment. Just know that you can go back later and get it done. And common mistake number 7 is not being adaptable or not being flexible with your new habit. So of course, things aren't going to always go as planned. So let's say that you wanted to go to the gym during nap time and your kid decides to wake up early and you're not able to go to the gym that day. But just let that be okay. So be flexible and be able to shift things around, be adaptable. And this has really been a struggle for me because we thrive with routines. Like, all of us really thrive when we know what to expect. We know what's coming up. We know what our typical day is going to look like. So when things go off schedule for us or go unplanned, like we have certain things that keep popping up, like nap time gets cut short or my daughter doesn't feel good and she's just really whiny and I planned on doing other things that day, but now I'm canceling everything. Those used to really throw me for a loop because I wasn't planning ahead, and I noticed that was the problem. I would wait till the day before to record the podcast episode, and then my daughter would wake up sick and I wouldn't be able to record. So that would just really get me frustrated and upset. But the problem wasn't with her waking up sick. The problem was me not planning ahead. So now I've had to learn to be flexible and plan ahead and make room for these unexpected events that are just, they're going to happen. Like, when you have kids, you're going to have unexpected things pop up, and that's okay. As long as you are planning ahead and not waiting until the last minute and then you're stressed, you're like, oh, I have to go to the store right now. We're not going to have dinner. Like, I always make sure that we have extra food on hand for like our staple meals that we eat. We always have those ingredients on hand. So if I'm unable to go to the store, or let's say I'm about to go to the store and we have a flat tire, then it's like, okay, that's fine. We can still eat. Like, we're not just going to sit here and starve until I can like get a grocery delivery spot or something. So make sure that you're planning ahead and you're being flexible and not waiting until the last minute to do things. So let's go back through the 7 common mistakes that are keeping you inconsistent. The first mistake is setting unrealistic expectations. Mistake number 2 is not being specific with the habit you're trying to accomplish. Mistake number 3 is neglecting the impact that your environment has on habit formation. Mistake number 4 is not having accountability or a support system. Mistake number 5 is focusing solely on the outcome and neglecting the process or the journey to get to the outcome. Mistake number 6 is all or nothing thinking, so I have to do all of the tasks now or I do nothing. And mistake number 7 is failing to be flexible, you failing to plan ahead. If you want to stay consistent, you have to make sure that you are planning ahead, you are being flexible, you are setting out these visual cues so you're not trying to keep everything in your head and remember to do all of these things, and that you're creating an environment that is supporting you on your journey. So for me, I know that my fuzzy pink blanket is going to encourage me to lay down, which I don't want to do. So I put the blanket where I can't see it anymore. If you know that you're trying to eat less, then maybe hiding the big plates, maybe hiding those, and you only have small plates that will decrease your portion size. Maybe that's something that is better for you and that will support you on your weight loss journey. So making simple changes to your environment can help you stay consistent. Thank you so much for listening to the Smart Productive Mom podcast. If you found this information helpful, please leave a written review so more moms can find this show. And if you want to connect with the super moms in this community, come hang out with us in the Smart Productive Mom Facebook group. I can't wait to connect with you. See you there.